This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two already. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Port O'Connor now. Let's check in with Captain Lynn Smith, see what we can strike up for conversation today. Good morning, Lynn. How's it going, man?
Oh, good, man. I'm ready. Ready to scrape the barnacles off and go down south. I'm ready to look at some animals.
Well, we should cool down a little bit. I don't feel like hunting in 100 degree weather, man.
I know it. I was talking to the ranch manager yesterday, and he said, "Man, it's hot.
it's hot down there, man.
Oh God. You know those deer aren't moving till right at dark. You know right. That. Gosh.
Well, those South Texas deer are some tough animals.
They are, aren't they? Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. They got to deal with heat, cactus. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough down there. You know, it's bad enough. I mean, they got to deal with mountain lions and all that.
And all the predators, snakes, and now cactus, drought,
and now the
heat.
And the bears are moving up from Mexico.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a lot of black bear sightings in Texas right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. What next? You know, man, oh, man. Oh, well, I tell you, like I think I was telling you, man, the first time I ever hunted in South Texas, I went down to Raymondville. I was hunting down there with a buddy, and man, I'll never forget that. I sitting in that stand, and I said, it got daylight, and I said, man, I mean, there's deer here? I mean, how can a deer survive in this? And the first deer that stepped out in that sendera, I went, oh my God, look at the size of this deer.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Yeah, it is hard to believe. They can look so good and be in such good shape for all they have to endure in a year's time.
Man.
It's crazy, man.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
It's hard to believe all those fawns survive like they do.
It is. It really is. Good grief. Yep.
Supreme genetics.
Crazy. I mean, you know, we fly that ranch with a helicopter, and when you're driving on the ranch and you look through that brush, it looks real thick, but from the helicopter, you're looking down, it's real sparse. You know, it's real sparse, and it's amazing how thin everything looks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see all kinds of stuff. I mean, you see sheds and you see all kinds of things. But from the ground, looking in, it looks real thick. But, man, I tell you, that's some rough country. I mean, it takes a pretty tough animal to survive in South Texas, I'll tell you that.
It really does. It takes some pretty tough humans to live in that climate and do all the work you have to do to keep a lease in perfection, you know?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. People just don't realize it. Yeah.
But it is a special place. It's pretty much the last frontier, you know, in Texas. I mean, that's...
it is.
South Texas, way out west and all that. All that Paladura Canyon area. And Texas got a lot to offer. About four different climates at the same time of the year.
We had a guy from Missouri, I think he was, and a customer came down to hunt, and we put him up in a stand, and there was a big tree. It was down in like a hollow, a real low area, and we put him up in this stand and came back to pick him up. He never fired a shot. He just sat up there and watched, and he couldn't believe all the deer he saw, and the size of the bucks that he saw, and came to pick him up and said, well, what what'd you see? He said, oh my goodness. He said, this was incredible.
Yeah.
And he said, I called my wife, and he said, sell everything, mama. He said, sell the house, sell everything. We're moving to Texas. he said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, I can hunt all year long. If we see one deer, he said, we're lucky.
Right.
He said, this was incredible. He said, this was like a zoo.
It really is incredible. Yeah. Texas has, I mean, we just have so much to offer.
Oh, yeah.
For the outdoorsman. Yeah. I mean, it is.
I've hunted New Mexico.
We sell more hunting licenses than any other state, you know, resident and visitors, non-resident.
I've hunted Colorado, New Mexico, Idaho, all over. And, you know, they're nothing like Texas. Nothing. They don't have the game that Texas has.
No.
Nothing like it.
I agree. We got some pretty good fishing too, you know, compared to everybody else.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, but nothing like it. Yeah, buddy. But, pretty good. Yeah, Friday I just went out for a little bit, kind of scouting some areas that I was kind of just curious if there was some fish in, and I hooked a pretty nice trout and had up to the boat and I thought, man, this is pretty good fish. I haven't hooked one this size in a while. It was
right.
That trout was probably 26 or better.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked it on a soft plastic. I hooked it on a watermelon red, and I had her right up to the boat. She shook it out, but that was a good trout. You know, she was a good solid fish. I just caught a red just prior to that, but I said, man, that was a real good trout. And but then yesterday we had a big party, and you know, yesterday the wind was just almost dead calm yesterday.
Yeah. It was real calm early. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, that's kiss of death. You know, I'd much rather have a little breeze anyway.
Especially down your way. I mean, it. You know, we pray for those calm days up here.
But, yeah.
You know, down your way, a little bit of wind goes a long way.
It does. I'd much rather have a little bit of wind.
Sure.
And especially throwing topwaters, I'd much rather have that. But anyway, but we did okay yesterday. We did pretty good. But anyway, but that's been the case down here. We've done well all week, really. It's been pretty good. And but anyway, I cleaned the boat up, put it up, and now I got to get my rifles out and dust them off.
Dust off the old rifles.
Yeah, I'm gonna load the truck here in a minute and head southbound and down.
You headed to George West then, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Awesome.
Headed to George West. George
Lucky
West.
You.
Well, we've got some management hunters, and we're going to try to get them a buck and a doe, so that'll be good. And we'll hunt for about 3 days, I think. And I don't think that'll be a problem. They get their deer. That won't be a problem. Maybe get a pig or two, but I don't know. That heat, oh man, I'm just not looking forward to that. Not at all.
It wouldn't be bad if dove season was still open and you could deer hunt in the mornings and then dove shoot in the afternoons.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not even going to take a shotgun. And you know, that would probably be the case. You know, if I didn't take a shotgun, the doves would just cover me up.
Well, sure. It always works that way.
And speaking of that,
I mean, borrow one. I bet somebody's got an extra one laying around down there.
Oh yeah. Speaking of that, a couple of days ago, the doves were just covering the wires down here. They were just lining
the
wires.
Yeah, they all left my house up this way. I had them thick, and they just disappeared. The dove left, the cardinals, and migration zone. Birds
man, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And I saw some ducks yesterday. I saw, you know, quite a few redheads.
Right.
So there's a lot of ducks showing up. They're starting to anyway.
Yeah.
So that's good. I haven't seen any pintails yet. But
pintail shoots have been pretty good in Rockport.
Have they?
Yeah. Redheads and pintails.
Now that's good.
The old bluebills.
Oh yeah.
The old blackjacks.
Old blackjacks.
Yeah.
I haven't heard them call that in a while.
That's
man,
old
I'll tell
school.
You what. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
My son asked, yeah, Daddy, what are you calling a blackjack? I said, them old bluebills, man. That just, you know, that's another
name
for them.
Just like that's right.
Tails, we call them sprigs. If they're
that's
drakes,
right.
We call them bull sprigs.
That's right. Old bulls.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. I never forget my dad's old partner, hunting partner. He killed one. It was banded, gosh, years and years ago. And it had been banded 3 days prior to that. And it was banded in Canada.
And made 3 days
prior. Uh-huh. 3 days prior to him killing it.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize they get up in that jet stream, man, and they make that migration to the coast. And, I mean, they get here faster than you think. They get after
Oh, absolutely. Them. Absolutely. They can hook them, man. They go. Yeah.
We used to have a lot of geese over here, you know, when we had all the, you know, big rice belt and everything here. We'd have those. This one ranch we hunted, we had a bunch of water level fields on it and that we kind of used for roost ponds and, you know, pintail hunts and all that. You know, them pintails love that open, big water, you know, water level fields. And you'd see those geese. They'd get down here in the middle of the day and just, you could tell they'd been flying for a long period of time. And they'd get down here and first thing they'd do is drop in and circle and fall into those water level fields and just drink water and drink and drink and then go to sleep.
Huh. Man, you know they're tired. No
yeah.
doubt about that.
No doubt, man.
I used to go down to El Campo and hunt with a friend of mine that I shot skeet with. And I'd go down there, and they had a field that they would flood, and they had two pit blinds in that field. They were metal pit blinds, and they had a metal lid on them. And you'd walk out there in that field, it was like walking on concrete.
Yeah.
And they had like 6 inches of water in that field. And you walked out to that pit blind, and it had handles on that lid. You walk out there, one guy on each side of that the lid, and you picked it up, and you just kind of walked over and sank it, you know, put it in the water, sank the lid. And you stepped down in that pit blind, and when you sat down, you were basically eye level with the water.
I
mean, it was incredible. Oh, you talk about shoot some ducks, man. I mean, whew, boy. And the old guy that had the property, he hated geese. He didn't like geese in there. He wanted to shoot ducks. So he had an air cannon set up. And during the night, that air cannon would go off and run the geese out. He'd run the geese out of that field.
I'll be darned.
But, boy, during the day, the pintails would just fall into that field, man. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Water
was awesome.
Big time. All right, let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll come right back at you, buddy.
All right,
All right, man. Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament catch than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. If you need more info on the oxygen response, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're there at the store, check out all their great prices on their wild-caught Gulf shrimp. No farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught and great prices. Looking for the 9, 12s, the 16, 18 counts, whatever you're looking for, they have it. Live crab also. You can pick those out. Take them home and boil them up. And check out their Cajun Grill next door. Talk about some good food at great prices. They turn out some really good food there, and their food truck over in Santa Fe, their location over there, they turn out really good food there also. So give them a call at 409-945-4001 or check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 519 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, man. I remember, several years ago, I was down at the ranch and it was hot like this. And I'd said, you know, I'd like to take a pig home. I'm going to go ahead and bait the trap and see if we get a pig. So I baited the trap and near one of the ponds. And anyway, the next day, I was running, going somewhere on the ranch there, and I ran by that pond. Well, there was a pig in the trap that was just the right size. I mean, perfect size. Mm-hmm. And it was probably about 30 pounds, 25, 30-pound pig. Perfect. And so I ran back to the ranch house. I didn't have a pistol with me or anything. And I ran back to the ranch house. I told the ranch manager, I said, hey, there's a pig in the trap and just the right size. And he said, well, we've got to fill a couple of feeders on the way to that pond where that trap is. And he said, let's fill those feeders and then we'll go by there and get that pig. I said, perfect. We'll do that. We went by that pond about 9 o'clock. Now that's pretty early in the morning.
Right.
And we got to that trap. That pig was dead from the heat.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is. That's not long. That's early.
No.
Kaboom.
That's early. And that pig died of heat. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
I cannot believe
it. Well.
Yep. Man. I mean, that tells you just how bad that heat is in South Texas. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, and that trap was not sitting out in the sun. It wasn't in the sun.
Right.
But that pig was just from exhaustion from him trying to get out of that trap.
Trying to struggle to get out of that cage, man.
Yeah.
Beat himself up in it and not having any water. There
That's
you go.
Right. That's right. Oh, that was bad.
You know, I've had a lot of hunts. You know, when I go down there at Christmas time, and it's 95, 97 degrees in the afternoons. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I remember one morning it was like 36, and in that afternoon it was almost 90. You know, it's like being in the desert down there almost, you know?
Oh, yeah. And of course, then there's the rattlesnake problem, Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You got to constantly have your head on a swivel, you know. Because, boy, you got to realize they're out, you know. You got to be watching. And you never see them when you're looking for them. You know, you always run up on one when you're not looking for them.
Well, when you're being careless and not paying attention is when you end up getting close to one.
That's right.
And they don't buzz. Everybody thinks they'll give you a warning. Well, they don't. A lot of them are quiet. They won't buzz at all.
No, that's right. I mean, they just, you know, you just run up on them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. But, man, there's some big bad boys down there.
There he is. That 7-footer at Blaine and him killed dove hunting. That was, that's big snake, man. 7 feet.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. The biggest one I ever saw was on a morning that the temperature had gotten down in the 20s, and then the sun came out. Well, he was laying in the sun underneath the mesquite tree, warming up. And it had warmed up into the 30s, upper 30s. But, you know, the sun came out. And so he was laying there in the sun warming up. And we drove by him. We were going to another field. We were quail hunting. And we drove by him. And I just happened to look over at that mesquite tree. And he was laying there in the sun. Oh, my goodness. He looked like he was probably 7-footer.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, just took your breath away. I mean, he was so big.
Well, don't think that cold weather you got, you know, you got it whooped because
no.
A friend of me in Blaine's, he at 28 degree weather one morning, he got popped by a rattlesnake getting in the blind. Just least expected.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I told you about that guy that I met on the King Ranch. He took care of about, almost 30,000 acres on the King Ranch for quail hunting.
Right.
For a light company, the light company out of Corpus. And he said he wore chaps. And he said in almost 30 years of guiding on that place, he had been hit 3 times. And all 3 times were above the knee.
Wow.
And he was walking through that saltgrass, and they were coiled up on top of that saltgrass, sunning. And he was quail hunting, and they popped him above the knee.
Man.
And one time he said one of them struck him above the knee and hung on those chaps, and he ran out of that saltgrass dragging that snake. That snake was hung on his chaps. Boy, that'll wake you up in the morning, won't it?
Boy, you talk about doing a dance, buddy.
Oh, man.
You know, I've seen them, you know, when the grass is high down there, when that buffalo grass is tall and you're shooting quail, they'll swim on top of that grass.
Yes, sir.
Just come across it heading, you know, they'll hear that bird flouncing, you know, and flopping around. And they'll come to it, to that noise, to get that quail.
Oh, you better know
it. They'll swim on top of that grass to it. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes. You see all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah. I was down in Mexico, dove hunting. We were about 30 or 40 miles in. And we were standing next in a field. We were standing next to some brush. Hunting next to a maize field, and we were trying to drop the doves, you know, in the field. Well, I shot one that fell just into the brush behind me, and I walked over there, and I could see him fluttering in the brush, and about 5 feet in, and I started to just kind of bust in there and pick him up because he was sitting there kind of fluttering. And something just told me, no, you better hold off, you know. And I was shooting a 20 gauge and an old 870. And I just stuck that barrel down in there and kind of pushed the brush aside. And there was a rattler coiled up watching that dove just flutter. He was already there just watching that dove flutter.
Yeah, you got to reach down the grass to pick up a bird. You better look around.
Oh.
Better you eyeball better. It first before you stick your hand down there. Bobby had one. He reached down to pick up a quail, and he got popped on top of the hand. But luckily it was a dry bite because that snake had already hit that bird.
Oh, man. Yeah, I always look. I always look first. In fact, what I usually do is I got on snake boots, but I kind of brush around the bird with my foot.
Yeah, first. Kick it around, yeah.
Uh-huh. Before I ever reach down and get it. But
and Blaine's real good about that. His all his quail roads, his rows, he keeps them mowed real good, you know, golf course style.
Yeah.
And all of his dove hunting areas that he puts people in, he keeps them mowed real good where they can see. You know, they don't have all that thick cover to go in there and look for a bird.
Right. Right. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
because you know most people coming down there to hunt, they're not aware of all that. You know, they're not used to that. They're not used to that.
Well, we fight the water moccasins up here, and they fight the rattlesnakes down there when you're dove hunting.
That's right.
Snakes are snakes.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yep. But, you know, you get hunters coming down, and they're used to sitting in an office. You know, they're not used to fighting the snakes.
Well, that's true. That's,
oh, man. You know, they're just not used to thinking about it. Yeah, it's kind of like white fishing. They're not used to worrying about sharks or stingrays. Oh, my goodness.
I can deal with sharks. Yeah. Those rays, man, they come when you never expect them. That's
boy,
that's never good. You step on one of them, you're gonna get hit. Nine times out of ten. You know,
I can't believe you've never been hit. I can't believe I have been
so lucky. I'm gonna knock on wood because I've been real fortunate.
Yes, you have.
We were waiting in San Antonio Bay one time with old Lowell Odom, a buddy of mine, and I had my son, and he had his son. We were staying down there for a week, and Lowell said, "Man, I got tomorrow off. Y'all come go with me." So we hopped in a boat with him, and we went down to San Antonio, or up to San Antonio Bay from there.
And that's a minefield.
Oh, yeah. We're waiting at shoreline where all the cranes hang out and the bayou mouths and all that, and
oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. I'd never seen that many stingrays in my entire life. And Lowell's making fun of me and my son. We got up on the bank and walked down to them. He dropped us off, and we waited one bayou mouth. We were catching fish, but the rays were so bad. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of them. Everywhere you look, they're swimming around. They're laying all over the bottom. And I said, we're going to get nailed. So we moved down to them and waited out where they were parked, and we ended up catching all of our fish in that one bayou mouth and on 7M mirror lures. And Lowell's laughing and making fun of Mickey Ray and I. And the next day he went back there with a party, and he got smoked. That's when he took that bad one through the Achilles tendon. He was down for 6 months on that one. That one messed him up big time.
Man. Yeah, man. That's bad. You get your Achilles. That's bad. Yeah.
That was a bad one. That's a bad hit. And, he was laid up for a while. That's never good.
Well, I was down there.
It wasn't nothing like that one Jody took. Golly, man.
Oh, that was horrible, wasn't it?
Boy, that's
that was a big ray that hit him.
That was one of those giant.
Big,
I promise you, one of them chandelier specials right there, buddy.
I'm telling you, man. I tell you what, I saw one in the surf that was probably about the size of the one that got him. Man, oh man, the tail on him looked like an anchor rope. You know? Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, we see some big ones. Waiting. Dollar Flats has always had some, you know, we call them car hoods. They're so big.
And, yeah.
Then there's another flat over in East Bay we call Fat Rat Pass. Man, yeah. I've seen some monsters in there swimming around. It's always in the summer, you know, when they're popping them pups out, spawning.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, you get hit with one of those, they'll drag you off, you know, take off with you.
Well, I made a listener happy. He kept telling me that he couldn't hear us clear. And I said, "Are you on AM?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, switch over to, if you got HD radio, go to 100.3 HD2 FM." And he said, "Man, it works fine. It's clear as a bell now." So good for him.
Huh.
And that's weird, transmission waves, you know, how it works. Cloud coverage stretches out really good on AM, and then you get the clear mornings, clear sky and everything. You don't get as strong a signal.
What channel FM is it?
100.3. That's our country station channel. And then in HD, it's HD2. We have HD 1, 2, and 3, and the outdoor shows on 2. and they pick it up a lot clearer and cleaner. You know, if they're having trouble with AM, they're not getting a good signal. All right, well, let me do this break, and I'll come right back at you, Lynn. We'll finish up.
All right,
buddy.
All right, man.
All right. Well, Bayou City Angler, that's Houston's fishing outfitter. They stock a wide variety of the industry's best gear by the most trusted brands. And check out all their wade fishing gear, fly fishing gear, fly tying components, along with rods, reels, lines, and lures. Everything for the fisherman. Great inventory of Waterloo rods and the Slam Mag and the HP Light, which is everybody's favorites. And check out their Shimano reels, Luz reels, all their Sims gear, Southerly, and Poncho, just to name a few. And offshore tackle for the serious angler. Be sure to go by and visit a very nice tackle store trusted by our community with great service. Easy to find. 8933 Katy Freeway next to Carter's Country and Good Company Barbecue. Again, 8933 Katy Freeway. Here's their number, 832-831-3104. Bayou City Angler, Houston's fishing outfitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back.
All right. Yeah, anyway, we're back to those stingrays.
Oh, boy.
Favorite topic.
Yeah,
Lowell took you to the great place of San Antonio Bay.
Yeah.
That's where I got hit. And there are a few stingrays in that bay, but I was during one of the Trout Masters tournaments. There was one of the guys from Galveston. I'll never forget. I was talking to him at the award ceremony, and he said, "You fish San Antonio Bay a lot?" I said, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'm down there a lot." Why? He said, "Man," he said, "I was down there." He said, "I was down near Ayers Dugout in that area," and he said, "Man," he said, I never seen so many stingrays in my life." And he said, I got up on the bank to walk back to get my boat, and I almost got stuck, bit by a rattlesnake. he said, your area is dangerous down there, man."
I'm telling you.
I said, "Yeah, it's pretty tough. You got to be pretty tough to fish in our area." That's why old Rudy Grigger, boy, he fished down here, but old Rudy was tough. Rudy was a tough old codger.
He was a salty, barnacled up old man, I'll tell you. He was something else.
Wasn't he? Wasn't he?
He was salty.
Old Rudy. Wasn't he? Gosh almighty. I liked old Rudy. He was a character. He was a character. Yeah, buddy. I mean, anybody that have a camp down at Panther Point, man, oh, man. Fight those mosquitoes and everything down there.
Oh, man. He just, that was Rudy, though. He was out of way. And then stuck out on Chandelier the rest of his career, living out there like a hermit.
Yep. The boy, he loves to fish. He loves to catch those trout. And he did.
He could pour the coals to them.
No, I'm telling you, man.
He caught a lot of them. He's
yes, he did
something else.
Yes, he
did. They don't make them like that anymore.
No, not hardly. Yeah, Rudy was a character. I fished with Rudy one time down at in San Luis Pass years and years ago, and he was a pistol, man. We were wading what he called shark hole,
right?
And, I know you remember that spot.
Oh,
we were waiting there. If you weren't throwing a plug and shorty, you couldn't catch a trout, you know. Everybody threw plug and shorties, man.
A root beer one, too.
A root beer plug and shorty, exactly.
Root beer plug and shorty looked just like a little brown shrimp, man.
That's right.
Nuke that thing. And then the strawberry one was good, too.
Oh, yeah. But that root beer plug and shorty was the ticket, man. And
I just happened to have a couple. I wouldn't throw them, but.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I've got a couple of them, too. And I think I told you this. One day, I pulled up to the ramp over here, and there wasn't a soul in sight, not a person in sight. I pulled up to the ramp, and I went to tie up, and there was a bingo box sitting there with a plug and shorty in it. Wow. Brand spanking new. Brand spanking new. And I looked around, and there wasn't anybody in sight. It was like a gift from heaven, you know? Like somebody had just laid that there for
me. Yeah, I believe I'd have taken that one home with me.
Well, matter of fact, I did.
Finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
But, I mean, where did that come from? And I looked around and I went, you got to be kidding me. And I couldn't believe it. Brand spanking new in the box. But, man. But that day Rudy and I were wading over there at Charcoal, and we'll catch a trout every cast with that plug and shorty. And here came a boat. Boy, he was roaring across the bay there. And Rudy said, get down on your knees here on the sandbar. So everybody knelt down, and that guy was in a deep V. And boy, he just roared up there to us and ran aground on that sandbar. He ran aground and just rolled on his side, you know, in that deep V. It was funny.
And now I know why he did that, make it look deeper than it really was, so that guy would run aground. That was Rudy, man.
Yep, that was Rudy. Yep, that's right.
Unbelievable.
God, we saw a guy yesterday run aground across from the fishing center here. You know, the tides have been real low. Mm-hmm. And, boy, this guy ran aground on the bar. He went straight across the fishing center. Uh-oh. And ran aground over there, sandbar. And, I mean, that's hard sand. And he was over there. And I think the guy was by himself. And both just kept going by him. Nobody would help him, you know. And finally, one of the guys there, we were sitting there watching, and finally one of the guys said, hey, this boat pulled up. He said, hey, how about pulling that guy off over there? He needs a little help. So finally somebody went over there, tied on to him, and pulled him off that bar. But man, I tell you what, I had a guy call me a few days ago and asked me if I would take him out. He had bought a brand new boat, and asked if I'd take him out and run him around and kind of show him around.
Get him some track lines on his GPS for him. Yeah, running lanes.
Yep. And I said, well, I said, I'm fixing to leave town and go deer hunting. But I said, trust me, you need somebody to do that for you, because you do not want to run around in this area with a new boat.
When I first started coming down there in Rockport and everywhere, I used to be a nervous wreck. Till I learned the waters, you know, I took it easy, and luckily I got through all that without any mishaps till I learned all those areas. Cause man, I tell you, you can get in trouble.
Oh, I told this guy, I said, look, we've got a lot of oyster reefs and sandbars. And,
yes.
I said, you need somebody to show you where to go, or you're going to have a trip to the gel coat man.
Yeah, I always went in the middle of the day when, you know, clear sky and the water was clean. You could polarize glasses. Yeah. You could see all the structure and work
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Because I was running a Galveston Bay boat, man. I didn't have all them fancy shallow water rigs like all you guys were running. I had to be really extra careful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you right now, as shallow as the water is with the tide, boys, it's really dangerous.
I mean,
you know, it's
what
it's,
boat
it's
are you
bad.
Running now, Lynn? I just got a text. Somebody want to know what boat you were running. Oh, and another guy texted, want to know if you you've seen your big alligator lately.
No, I hadn't seen him lately. It's been a while. But anyway, I run a shallow sport 24 Mod V. Yeah. I've got a 250 Suzuki on it.
Okay.
But anyway, it runs pretty skinny. It'll run pretty skinny, that shallow sport Mod V. It'll scare you.
Oh, yeah.
It'll scare you.
Hey, remember those old Mayak redfish lines?
That's oh, my goodness.
That's as shallow as I've ever run. Look behind you, and there's nothing but smoke and mud behind you, prop smoke.
That's true.
Coming out
that's
of the mud.
Right.
I'm going, this is unbelievable. Don't let
oh,
off.
Yeah.
Don't let off the
that's
throttle.
Right. That's right.
That boat was great for that, but, buddy, you had to cross some rough open water. You were in trouble. You're, man, you'd be beat to pieces.
I'm telling you. I was down at the Darlington one time, and we were done. My customers, everything. I was putting fish in the cooler, and I could hear this bam, 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 and this guy said, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, that's one of the guys I know. He's coming back. He'd gone a little farther down past the Darlington here, and I said, I know him. He runs a redfish line." Mayak,
right.
And it's flat bottom, and I said the wind's picked up, and he's coming back. Well, he came by, and he had two guys sitting up front, you know, to kind of distribute the load, and he was beating them to pieces. And as he came by, I waved at him, and he waved back, and he went on. Well, we put our fish in the cooler and everything, and I was running a Pathfinder then. I had a 24 Pathfinder.
Right, that's a good boat.
Oh, I'm telling you, and it would eat that surf up, boy. Well, anyway, I finally cracked up and I took off. Boy, I put the nose of that Pathfinder down with those trim tabs, and I went on. Well, I went on by him, and I waved at him and went on. Well, a few days later, I saw him in a restaurant, and I said, how long did it take you to get home? He said, about 3 hours. he said, we stopped three times to rest.
Yeah, Ben, when he got said, in, his old customers go, boy, that was a hell of a fishing trip, Captain. What do we owe you? And he said, well, the fishing trip was free. The boat ride was $600.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Ooh. Oh, he beat him to pieces, man.
Oh, man. I've been in one of them deals, man, with a shallow water boat like that. I didn't appreciate it much. Boy.
Well, I've seen him before, you know, with that redfish line. Normally, he'd get right on the beach, man. I mean, run right in the ripples. First gut, you know, and run that first gut all the way back. But there used to be a couple of pretty good-sized wrecks, you know, shrimp boat wrecks.
Well, yeah.
In that first gut, and now they've pretty much sank. They're down in the sand, but there was some trash in that first gut. I mean, you could tear your motor up pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean but I haven't seen any stuff in that first gut anymore. Been a while. I ran down. I ran all the way to Cedar Bayou last year in the surf. With a customer, and the surf looks pretty clean now in that first gut.
Yeah.
But, boy, for a long time, there was a lot of trash up tight.
Well, that's one thing about those shallow boats. If you, you know, if it gets rough, you can get in there real shallow or it's not as rough. Make it home.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
You hate doing that because you know you're running over fish, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when that wind picks up, those trout move out. They move out of that first gut. They move farther out. And those redfish stay right in that first gut.
Yeah, they do.
They'll stay right up tight.
The
they will. I was waiting on that first bar, and I looked up, boy, and here came some big old bulls coming right down that first gut. And Man, I had them soft plastic. I threw right over in front of them, boy, and they just turned their noses up. They wouldn't even touch it, you know. I said, well, look at this. So, I cast again and drug it right in front of them. They wouldn't touch it. And I said, huh. So, man, I threw in there again. I drug it over the back of one of them, about a 40-inch bull, and I just stuck him in his back. You know,
foul looked him.
I know it. Foul looked him in the back, and then the fight was on, man.
Oh, yeah. You have no leverage on that fish. He's got you. You don't have him.
I thought he was going to spool me.
There needs to be a bounty on all these bull reds that are in the bay systems now. You know, we've had it for a long time up here, but now I'm hearing it all the way down your way, clear to Corpus, you know, Mansfield. And they just get in these bays, and there's just so much food for them. The habitat's right, and they don't want to leave. They just stay here. They live here year-round.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was throwing a little old Super Spook Jr. One day this week, and I had a big bull come up and hit at it. Thank goodness he missed it. And but boy, he was a big one too. Oh man, he just exploded on that thing.
You know, we're in the time of year for fishing with mirror lures up here, and man, everybody that's throwing mirror lures right now, they're nuking bull reds on them. Them bull reds won't leave those mirror lures alone.
Oh, I can imagine.
And that's nasty.
I can imagine.
Three treble hooks in a bull red's mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
It's tough enough just trying to put a bogo on him and getting him in the boat and messing with him and trying to get those three hooks out. You better be real careful.
Oh, that's
real careful.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a nightmare there. Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible.
He's up. Man, are your fat boys and your originals? They tear them up, man.
Oh God. Yeah, I was standing off one of these islands, off the end of one of these islands one day, and there was a whole school of reds coming down the shoreline, big reds. And I was throwing a corky, as a matter of fact, I stuck one of them, and I said, oh man, I just want my corky back, you know. And same deal. I mean, you know, I was throwing a regular corky, and I just said, I just want my corky back. Well, when I landed that fish, I just cradled him, you know, I just hugged him because he was too big to grab, you know. I didn't have a net, and I didn't have a bogus, so I just finally got him up there. I had him worn down, and I just hugged him, you know.
Right.
And I just hugged him.
Well, that's all you can do is either hug him or grab him in eyeball sockets like a bowling ball.
Right. And I just hugged him, and I just had my hemostats, and I reached in there, and I was lucky. And I had him worn down to where he couldn't really shake, you know, and tear me up. So I reached in there, and I was lucky enough I could get the hooks out of him. But he had both treble hooks just buried in his mouth. But I got my corky back, you know. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
They're big old monsters, you know.
All right, Lynn. Well, I got to run, man. I hope you have your nice trip to George West this week, and we'll talk about it next week, see how it went. I'd like to say there was a cool front coming, but there's not, so good luck.
We're supposed to get some rain, aren't we?
Thursday, they're showing a pretty good chance of rain Thursday, so maybe we'll get some. The whole countryside could use a little.
We could definitely use some.
No doubt.
Well, right, keep
buddy.
Your fingers crossed. Yeah.
All right, man. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come hunt or fish with you.
All right, man. And give me at 361-935-6833.
All right, buddy. Well, Lynn, have a good trip. Talk to you next week.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Have a good
Later.
One, Mick.
All right.
All right, bye.
All right, time for our top of the hour break, national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.